Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the man who is bringing you more spiritual perspectives, a topic that we'll be covering from a biblical perspective. We want to hear what God has to say about the matter. You know, very often, it is helpful. It is so helpful when we're digging into discussions, whether we are thinking about something solo, whether we are discussing something amongst a small group. We are really trying to hash things out as part of a large group. Doesn't matter. Very, very often, it can be so helpful to know what God has to say about a situation, about a subject, about a topic. I mean, think about it now. Most of us have gotten to the point where, well, I shouldn't say most of us. Many of us have gotten to the point where we believe that God exists and that he has created the entire world, including this earth on which we live. And many of us have concluded that God has created us. Well, just stands to reason. He's the one who created all. He would be the one with the best answers, the best solutions, the best decisions for all that we have to discuss. So let's take a look at what God has to say about suffering. And I'm almost going to start from the beginning, since it's been a couple of weeks, a few weeks or so since we've really dug into this, calling it suffering well. And part of the reason that I say suffering well is because, for one thing, I know that there's a debate as to whether or not people have to suffer at all. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, come on now. You're saying there's a debate as to whether or not we suffer at all. There really is. There are some people who teach that, especially when it comes to people who are followers of Christ Jesus, followers of Christ, that we don't suffer. They teach that. They teach we do not suffer. And part of their point is that Jesus died on the cross and suffered there for us. His body was buried. He suffered there for us. His spirit went into the hinder part of the earth. He suffered there for us. And since he did all of that suffering, saints of God don't have to suffer. So I think that, you know, rather than get into a philosophical debate about it and just go round and round and round, let's take it from the top again. Let's start at the beginning. Let's go to the Word of God and see what God's Word says about this. In other words, let's see what God himself, through his written word, has to say about this. Let's narrow it down, just to make it a little bit simpler, narrow it down to people who say that they are indeed followers of Christ, since that's the strongest position that the people who teach this take, that people of God, children of God, followers of Christ, don't have to suffer. Let's see what we can find in the Old Testament and the New Testament about this matter, because one thing that we know is that the Lord Jesus and his apostles validated the legitimacy of what was taught in the Old Testament. And I guarantee you, when we look at this, we will find that there are definitely scriptures in both the Old and New Testaments that make it clear that God's people do suffer. And a lot of you are thinking, yeah, that's true. I mean, there are places where he says it's his will that we suffer. And some of the folks are thinking, nah, there's nowhere in the Bible where it said that God wills that his people suffer. There's no way. And those of you who are thinking, but man, come on now, isn't he supposed to be a loving God? Yes, he is supposed to be a loving God. And the good news is, he is a loving God. And just because he may desire that we suffer from time to time, that doesn't mean he doesn't love us. God's motives are always good, and that's going to be something very important to keep in mind. God's motives are always good. And so if he determines that at this point in our lives, there's going to be some suffering, it's for good. So just keep that in mind. I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. Yes, 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 I will. And it's only fair that you would ask me to do that. I will do that. I will show you from Scripture. But I do want to just kind of lay that foundation, paint that broad picture for now. And then as we go along, I'm going to fill in the details. Okay, so here we go. Do people suffer? Yes. When people have some type of sickness or disease in the body, they're suffering. Do children of God, do followers of Christ, sometimes have sickness or disease in their bodies? Yes. Do people suffer? Very often when people are struggling to make ends meet, they're suffering. Do God's people sometimes, do some of God's people, do many of God's people find it difficult to make ends meet at times? Yes. Yes, absolutely. And as we go, you know, throughout, as we cover this conversation, I want you to do something that I've asked you to do in the past. Don't just think about middle class and wealthy Americans when we talk about suffering and we're talking about Christians. Now, remember, there are many, many, many millions upon millions of Christians who do not live in America. And so it's important that we realize we're talking about all of the world's Christians when we have these types of discussions. We're not just talking about Christians in America, many of whom struggle to make ends meet. All right, so keep that in mind now. So when we're talking about Christians, we're not just talking about American Christians who may live in homes that cost $300,000 and up. We're not just talking about American Christians who may have two or three cars. We're not just talking about American Christians who may have closets that have 30, 40, 60 different outfits, maybe 12 different pairs of pants and 15 different shirts, 20 pairs of pants and 22 shirts, underwear galore, socks galore, 10 or 12 pairs of shoes, athletic shoes, dress shoes, you name it. We're not the only ones who make up the Christian population in the world. So think about the Christians who have been chased from their homes in parts of Africa and other parts of the world. And many of them having left home under duress with nothing, no earthly belongings, but the clothes that they were wearing. They are children of God, followers of Christ. Many of them living in refugee camps, less than ideal sanitary conditions, you name it. Are they suffering? Many of them would say they are suffering, even if gracefully, they're suffering. They are having a very, very, very difficult time. That's reality. And so, again, let's approach this with integrity. Let's not say, well, hey, look, I belong to this camp. And this is the way we see it. This is the way the people in our camp see these kinds of situations. Don't do that. Don't place the positions assumed by your camp above God's word. You may have a hard time accepting this, but God is greater than your camp. God is wiser than the members of your camp. So let's go with what God says about it. All right, so let's start. And again, integrity. Let integrity help lead the way. Psalm chapter 9, verse 13, and I will be reading from the International Version, New International Version. It reads, O Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death. Persecution can be something as trivial, as ugly as people just saying ugly things about you. I mean, they're not trying to tell the whole world, just a few people here and there. But they're persecuting nevertheless. And you all know, people say something ugly about us, we can get upset. But persecution can also be as severe, as serious as the people trying to kill you because they don't like what you stand for. Oh, Lord, see how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from what gates? The gates of death. See how my enemies persecute me. They're trying to persecute me to death, literally. You suppose a person in that predicament is suffering? Listen to the emotion in his cry as he cries out to God, to the Lord. See how my enemies persecute me. Lift me up from the gates of death. Getting ready to be driven into Never Never Land. Lift me up from the gates of death. They're just about at a point where they're about able to end it all for him. And he doesn't want that to happen. This is a person who is distressed. Yeah, you can believe on some level he's experiencing some level of suffering. Psalm 34 and 19. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all, one way or another. A righteous man may have many troubles. Many troubles. Now that is something that can be, I mean, you're talking about, it's one thing to have one trouble, especially if it's lasting for a while. It's another thing to have two or three troubles, two or three troubling situations that last for a while. Can you imagine having many troubles that are lasting for a while? A righteous man may have many troubles, but, you say, the Lord delivers him from them all. That is truly good news. We got to keep perspective, though. Sometimes when God delivers us, he delivers us within months after the trouble begins. Sometimes within days, sometimes within hours, sometimes years after the trouble has started. And I do mean years. It's not because he can't stop things any sooner than that, but God is looking at the big picture and he's looking way down the road. What is going to help my child the most? And so during the Great Tribulation, Satan and his evil human cohorts are going to really be making life miserable for the people of God, for followers of Christ. They're going to be deliberately making life miserable for followers of Christ. And some of those people will not be delivered until they have died. They will have died. Now, let me turn to Revelation so that you know I'm not making that up. And again, now let's approach this with integrity. I share it with you in the written word of God. You know it's true. Then it's just a matter of accepting what we find to be true. So in Revelation chapter 6, let's begin at verse 9. Again, Revelation chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. We have the seals being opened. And each time a seal is opened, disaster strikes on the earth. This is, again, during that time of trial, come upon the earth to test all people. Revelation 6 and 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Hold it right there for just a minute. How long before you avenge our blood? I know that a lot of times saints think that it is sinful for children of God to want God to deal with our enemies. We are taught that we should be loving and we should be merciful. We should be kind. And now all that is true. But that's only part of what God teaches us about our attitudes and our dispositions towards the wicked who trouble us. Listen to this. How long until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. Each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed as they had been was completed. That was the answer they were given. Their question, how long before you avenge our blood? The answer, just a little while longer until the number of your kindred who will be killed as you have been is completed. They were not corrected or reproved, chastised for asking, when are you going to avenge our blood? They were told, some of your own must also be killed the same way you were. And there's a specific number of them who will be killed. And once that has been done, then your blood will be avenged, as will theirs. But notice what I shared with you before. Sometimes the deliverance from evil, the deliverance from persecution, the deliverance from hard trials comes through and after death. Psalm 34 and 19, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all, one way or another, one day or another.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough.
Lauren Daigle.
Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up.
It's entitled, You Say.
Just the sum of every high and end.